Illnesses seem to be on everybody's mind these days. But imagine that you were having an illness, dealing with an illness that left you unable to move on your own. Now, the one that we have is bad enough, but think about not being able to move at all. And then suffering for this disease, with this disease for 38 years. Some of you haven't even lived that long. In John chapter 5, John chapter 5, and starting with verse 5, John chapter 5, starting with verse 5, says, a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, do you wish to get well? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Imagine a stranger just comes up to you and says, would you like to be cured of your disease? I'm suffering it for 38 years, long time. The idea, no longer weak, no longer dependent on somebody else. And then he cures him. Jesus said to him in verse 8, get up, pick up your bed and pallet and walk. Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. What a wonderful thing to happen. Now, understand that man didn't know who did this. Just a stranger comes up and says this. But it happened to be on the Sabbath day that Jesus did this. And the Jews get upset because Jesus not only did a miracle on the Sabbath day, breaking the Sabbath laws from their point of view, but he actually told somebody to carry something, which was a violation of the Sabbath rules. And so in verse 16 of John chapter 5, for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus makes a really interesting statement in verse 17. He answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. In other words, God has always been working in this world, even on the Sabbath. And he will continue to work. And Jesus says, I am also working with God the Father. Which, of course, then upsets the Jews even more. But I want you to understand and think about what Jesus is saying. God is working. He has always worked. You see, this universe doesn't run by itself. We kind of think it that way. But the Bible teaches that the reason why this universe functions is because of the continued efforts of God. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 17, talking about Christ, he says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It is through Jesus' efforts that this world stays together. In Hebrews chapter 3, or 1, and verse 3, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, says, he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, by the word of his power, upholds, he sustains, he carries everything in this universe. We go back to Psalms 148. Psalms 148, And starting with verse 1. Psalms 148, starting with verse 1. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest up heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. God has not only made this entire universe, it continues to function by His decree and by His command. And that's why Paul mentioned on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17 and in verse 28, for in Him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own prophets have said, for we are also His children. We exist, we move, we live because of God. We need to understand that. We need to be appreciative of that. Because God is involved in the order of the universe. So often people wonder, well, where is God? What is He doing? But God is actually involved in this world. In Psalms again, this time verse 104, or chapter 104, Psalms 104, I'm going to start with verse 10. Psalms 104, starting with verse 10. It says, He sends forth springs in the valleys. They flow between the mountains. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They lift up their voice among the branches. He waters the mountains from the upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of His works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the labor of man, so that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine which makes man's heart glad, so that he may make his face glisten with oil and food which sustains man's heart. The trees of the Lord drink their fill, the cedars of Lebanon which He planted, where the birds build their nests, and the stork whose home is in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the shepherd. He made the moon for the seasons, the sun to know its place of its settings. You appoint darkness, and it becomes night, and in which all the beasts of the forest prowl about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. Man goes forth to his work and to his labor until evening. O Lord, how many are your works? And in wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. God didn't just make a world and walk away from it. It exists. It operates, and He watches over it, even to the little things like making sure there's grass for the cattle to eat. God is involved. And that's why, for instance, in Luke chapter 12, we'll come back to Psalms in just a moment, but in Luke chapter 12, and in verse 24, Jesus said, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storerooms nor barns, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? God makes sure about the birds, making sure they're fed, Another place, Jesus says he even knows when they die. God knows his works. Going back to Psalms 135. Psalms 135. And in verse 7, it says, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, who makes lightning for the rain, who brings forth the wind from his treasuries. God's involved in the weather, making sure the water cycle works. Job in Job 37. Job 37 and in verse 11. It says, also with moisture he loads the thick clouds. He disperses the clouds of his lightning. It changes direction, turning around by his guidance, that it may do whatever he commands it on the face of the inhabited earth. Even the direction the clouds flow, God is involved. So consider that the fact that God uses the natural laws for the most part to accomplish his goals. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't exist or that he's not involved. God's rules doesn't mean that also there aren't other forces in play either. God is in control, but like for instance in Job chapters 1 and 2, Satan is used to change things in Job's life. He allowed Satan to try Job. But God is still in control. Satan had to get God's permission. Mankind still has a free will. But we're being directed by God to the things that God does. And what we're seeing is just glimpses of God's providence. Sometimes we use that word and we don't really understand what it means. It's actually based on the Latin word that means for foresight. God sees in advance what is needed and prepares for it. God cares. His provisions. In fact, that's the same base word that God provides. With his providence. God makes plans for the future. And he sees that those plans are carried out. Take a look at Isaiah. Isaiah 46. And in verse 9. Remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times things which have not been. Saying my purpose will be established. And I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east. A man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. This is not a discussion about an uninvolved God. God is actively involved. And he looks in advance and he plans out things long before we even thought about a problem being existing. In fact, we're studying on Sunday morning the book of Esther. And that's what got me thinking about this particular lesson. We got in chapter 1 of Esther. We look at verse 11. And I want you to notice, and this is not all of them, but this is just a list of some of the strange coincidences in Esther. In Esther chapter 1, we got a queen who refuses to obey her drunken husband. In verse 11, The order was to bring Queen Vashti before the king with a royal crown in order to display her beauty to the people and the princes, for she was very beautiful. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, delivered by the eunuchs. And then the king became very angry, and his wrath burned within him. As a result, she is removed as being queen, which leads then in chapter 2 with Esther, a Jewish woman, becoming queen. And so in Esther chapter 2, verse 17, it says, the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found favor and kindness with him more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And you think, okay, interesting, you know, so a Jewish woman rises to become queen. But then in that same chapter at the end, her cousin just happens to hear of an assassination plot against the king. In chapter 2, verse 21, it says, in those days, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's officials from those who guarded the door, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. But the plot became known to Mordecai, and he told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. Now, when the plot was investigated and found to be so, they were both hanged on the gallows, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles in the king's presence. Well, things like that happen. You know, you're in government, somebody's not content, somebody's going to try to do something awful like trying to do an assassination plot. But later, another government official gets mad and decides he's going to wipe out all the Jews. In chapter 4 and in verse 13, Esther chapter 4 verse 13, says, then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you're in the king's palace. You being in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not obtained royalty for such a time as this? Mordecai is looking back and saying, you know what? God might have been just planning in advance, and that's why you ended up being queen, just for this particular time. But meanwhile, that same official, Haman, decides he can't wait for all the Jews to be wiped out. He decides he needs to get rid of Mordecai right now. In chapter 5 and verse 14, then Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends said to him, have gallows 50 feet high, 50 cubits high made. And in the morning asked the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. And then go joyfully with the king to the banquet. And the advice pleased Haman. So he had the gallows made. He's not going to wait. Next morning he's just going to have Mordecai hanged. But then that very night, for some strange reason, the king had trouble sleeping. Again, it's kind of a strange coincidence. Just that night, he had trouble sleeping. So during the night, the king could not sleep. In chapter 6, verse 1. So he gave an order to bring the book of the records, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had reported concerning Bigthana and Teresh to the king's eunuchs, who were the doorkeepers, that they sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. The king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed upon Mordecai for this? And then the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. Oh, well, there was an oversight. That account that was mentioned years before that Mordecai had exposed a plot, that a record just happened to be made of it, that the king, because he couldn't sleep, had somebody start reading from the... No, great way to read. or go to sleep. Have somebody read the law book. But somebody was reading through the Chronicles and said, oh, and the king says, you know what? I don't remember we doing anything. Did we do something for this guy? No. And so he says, okay, we're going to give some honor to this guy. And it just so happens that Haman walks in because he's planning to ask for Mordecai's death. And the king, before he can ask for it, says, you know, what should we do for a guy who needs to be honored? And Haman thinks, well, it has to be him. And so he comes up with this elaborate scheme to, you know, parade him through town and show off that, you know, that this is the way the king treats those he's honoring. And the king says, great, I want you to do that for Mordecai. And so he had to personally arrange for Mordecai's honor and execute it. The very guy he was planning to hang. And that same night, Esther then reveals that Haman had plotted to kill the Jews, which put the queen herself in danger. Take a look at chapter 7, verse 3. Then Queen Esther replied, If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given to me as my petition, and my people as my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, and to be killed, and to be annihilated. Now if we have been sold as slaves, men and women, I would have remained silent, for the trouble would not have commiserated with the annoyance to the king. And then the king Ahasuerus asked Queen Esther, who is he and where is he? Who would presume to do this? And Esther said, a foe and an enemy is this wicked Haman. And then Haman became terrified before the king and queen. And if that was not enough, while Ahasuerus goes out to the garden to cool off a little bit, Haman starts to plead for his life with Queen Esther, and he just happened to slip. And so in chapter 7, verse 7, the king arose in his anger from drinking wine and went into the palace garden, but Haman stayed to beg for his life from Queen Esther, for he saw that harm had been determined against him by the king. Now, when the king returned from the palace garden into the place where they had been drinking wine, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. And then the king said, will he even assault the queen with me in the house? And as word went out from the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And then he was led out to hang on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai's death that morning. All through the book of Esther, God's not mentioned by name. And yet, way too many events just happened to fall into place at just the right time that we look at it and say, it can't be coincidences. It's God's providence involved. God's foresight is seen in providing for his people. You look through there, you say, well, where did God actually do anything? Well, maybe an angel stuck his foot out and tripped Haman when he was begging. You know, we could imagine something like that. But a lot of these things you say, well, where's God actually at? Though we know he's there, what exactly did he do? See, that's the nature of our providence. If I ask exactly what God's do, then you can't tell me, because he accomplished his will through his control of the universe. You know, it's like David and Goliath. We know God arranged for David to take out Goliath. But can you mark exactly what God did? Somewhere God had a hand in it. We know that. But there's just no way a little kid, relatively, could take out a mighty warrior who was over 9 feet tall. But somehow he managed. We don't know what God has in mind in advance. That's one of the things that often people find annoying. Is a lot of times we want to know, what's God going to do about this? What's God going to do about this virus? What's God going to do about the other problems I have in my life? And if we go back, you know, like what Mordecai said in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Mordecai says, who knows if you didn't become queen for this? Mordecai has no idea if that's exactly what God plotted. He's looking back at it and saying, you know, it's kind of a nice coincidence that you're queen at the time we need somebody. But did God do that? Well, I can't tell you. His work is too subtle. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. You need to see that? They're absolute 100% confident. God is able to save us from the fire. But you know what? They don't know if God's going to choose to save them from the fire. And that's why he says, and even if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve your idols. Or take another one that Paul said in Philemon. Philemon talks about, Paul talks to Philemon about a runaway slave that Philemon had. In fact, that's what the occasion of the letter is about. But Paul says in verse 15, perhaps he was, for this reason, separated from you for a while, that you would receive him back forever. See, Philemon's runaway slave just happened to run across Paul in Rome. While Paul was in prison, Paul converted him. And Paul's writing to Philemon and said, you know, don't be harsh with this slave. Who knows? Perhaps this was all arranged for by God. But what we need to understand and never forget, we cannot doubt that God cares for us. And God provides for each one of us. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? God is always with us. It doesn't matter how much I make, God will take care of me. As our memory verse says in Joshua 1 and verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God's there. God's operating this entire world. And God will guide us. In Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah 58 and in verse 11. The Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Paul told us that God's always working to make sure that the right things happen for his people. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord, or love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God makes sure that his people are taken care of. And then after this life, God will receive us. In Psalms chapter 73, Psalm 73, and in verse 21, it says, when my heart was embittered, and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel you will guide me, and afterwards you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Let's appreciate the fact that God is with us. Do we always know exactly what's going on and what's going to happen and why it's happening? Probably not, because we don't have the foresight God has. But God cares. And God's working on our behalf. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who wishes to become a child of God, we leave that open. For those who are children of God, who would like the prayers of their brethren on behalf, again, we have opportunities that are always there. Why don't we come forward as you stand and sing the song selected.